في محكم كتابه. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إن أتى الله بقلب سليم. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Who is Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam? And what is the meaning of these gatherings of commemoration that we organize for him every year? Is Hussein something that happened in the past? Is Karbala history? And these gatherings that we organize, are these mere rituals that we repeat every year because we are used to doing and organizing these gatherings? No, Hussein is not past. Karbala is not history. Hussein is the most alive and the most vibrant reality today. Karbala is alive today. And these gatherings that are organized in the name of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, they are Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. These gatherings are not rituals in the sense that these are things, these gatherings is something which we are just doing because our forefathers were doing it. No. Yes, these gatherings are ritual in the sense that it's something which the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam have told us to do. We are not doing it because someone else told us to do, because we are used to doing it. No. So Hussein is something I need to establish relationship with Hussein today. I need to live with Hussein. I need to find solutions to problems that I face in my life through Hussein. And if we really want to pay respect to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and the sacrifice which he gave, if we really want to give true meaning to these gatherings that we organize every year, I need to extend my relationship with Hussein beyond these 10 days. I need to live with Hussein. I need to be a companion of Hussein till end of my life. And believe me, if you do something for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, he is immediately going to respond and pay you back. So this is something I would really like to say to my younger brothers and sisters who are here, that take this opportunity, these 10 days that we are here and the other days of Azadari, that as much as possible help out in these gatherings in any manner that is possible for you. And for every one of us, that whatever I can do in these gatherings, from serving food, from cleaning the floor, from reciting a good noha, from sending a nice message, a hadith from Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, whatever I can do for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, this is the opportunity. Don't miss out. And know this for sure, that Imam al-Hussein is going to pay you back. There was a businessman in Tehran who every year used to organize majalis for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Allah had given him material wealth and he was using it in the way of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. So like every year, he organized the gatherings and he hired a cook to make food for the people who would attend these gatherings. So he hired a cook, he paid him, a professional cook. He comes, he cooks the food for everyone and he takes his money. And these 10 days, Azadari is performed and he goes back. Everyone goes back to their normal routine. Now this person, he sees a dream. And in the dream he sees that Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam is seated, and next to him Abul Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salam is seated. Please recite a loud salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Okay.
Before I continue, I just want to mention a few points about dreams. Personally, I don't like to bring too many things about dreams in my lectures. And it's not a very good idea to base our religion on dreams. No, we have solid intellectual proofs, we have the verses of the Quran, we have narrations from the Ahlul Bayt, we have solid things to base our beliefs on. But at the same time, one shouldn't think that these dreams have no reality, it's all fake. No. There is a logical, rational, philosophical explanation about dreams. What do these dreams mean? Which of the dreams are right? Which of the dreams are wrong? And sometimes, some of these dreams, there is a message for us. We can benefit from these incidents and events, of course, if they are narrated through reliable people. So he sees Imam al-Husayn and Hazrat Abbas in the dream. They are sitting, there's pen and paper in the hands of Abul Fadl al-Abbas, and they are doing hisab of the gatherings of Azadari which this man had organized. He's writing down names of everyone who helped organize these gatherings. Okay. So on the top of the list is name of this person. He's the organizer. So his name comes at the top. Then the names of other people, other volunteers who came and started helping in that gatherings, it came. And then down in the list, Imam al-Husayn tells Hazrat Abbas to write the name of this cook. Okay. And the dream ends, he wakes up, he's surprised that, come on, this cook, he didn't do anything as such for Imam al-Husayn. He took money, he was a professional, he was hired, I paid him money. So how comes his name is in the list? So he goes to this cook and asks him that, did you give something, did you do something from your own during these days of Azadari? So he says, no. I mean, I was coming there, everything was ready, I was coming, I was cooking. When I would finish cooking, I would go and you paid me the money. There's nothing I did. So he says, no, remember well, try to remember. Did you do anything? Did you add anything from your own side? So he starts thinking, I said, one day, when I came here to cook, and I wanted to light the stove, there was no matchstick to light the stove. The matchsticks had finished. And I wanted to start cooking, and it was getting late, and my house was nearby, so I said that let me go and fetch matchstick from my house, and I'll use it. So what he does is that he uses one matchstick from his own property for Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, and Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam is writing that down. That don't worry, you'll be even paid back. You'll be paid back amply for even one matchstick you use in the way of Aba Abdullah al-Husayn. And alhamdulillah, our community, we have many people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed with material wealth. They are affluent. So I would like to say to these people that spend in the way of Hussein. You will not be at loss. Spend in the way of Hussein. To the extent you can, he will pay you back amply, both materially and spiritually. And this will be reserved for you as baqiyatu salihat. This will remain. So one day, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah had saved some money, and then from that saved money, which was his own money, he bought a sheep and slaughtered it. Okay. And 3/4 of the meat, he gave it away in the way of Allah. He distributed it amongst the poor people. And only 1/4 was left for the house. So one of the wives of the Holy Prophet, she comes and she, in a complaining manner, says that, look, so little is left for us. 1/4, 3/4 is gone. See what Rasulullah says. He says that no. You need to change your perspective. It's the other way around. You need to completely change your perspective. 1/4 is gone, 3/4 has remained for us. Why? Because this 1/4, which is for the home, we are going to cook it, we are going to eat it, is going to finish. It's gone. It's not there anymore. But that 3/4 which we gave in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to stay for us. Look what the Holy Quran says. وَمَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدْ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقْ. Whatever is with you is going to perish. It's going to end. It's going to finish. وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقْ. If you connect something that you have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's going to stay for you forever. So whatever you give in the way of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam is going to stay for you. Okay, alhamdulillah, I have got the tawfiq to attend these gatherings. I'm coming on these nights. I'm shedding tears for Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. I'm trying to help out in whatever manner I can. Now there's a question I want to ask you all and myself. Is this the end of the journey? Is this the end? So when these 10 days will finish, I'll go to Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. I'll tell him, look, these were amazing 10 days, like every year. I really enjoyed attending these gatherings. I really enjoyed shedding tears for you. But now these 10 days are over. This is the end of my relationship with you. Khuda Hafiz, goodbye. See you next year. My question is, what will Imam al-Husayn reply? I was trying to imagine that if someone tells this to Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, what would he reply? I was trying to picturize what would be his answer. So I'm quite sure, the way we know Imam al-Husayn, that he's going to tell me, wait, where are you going? This is the beginning of our relationship, just 10 days. We have started to know each other. And you want to leave me and go? On the eve of Ashura, when I'm alone, you want to leave me and go? You know what? You remember the cry. My cry on the eve of Ashura. When there was no one in the battlefield to listen to me, when I said, Hal min nasirin yansurani. You know what? It was for you. It was for the coming generations, the Shias who would come and would remember Imam al-Husayn. I want you. I need your help. Don't go away. So Imam al-Husayn is not ready to leave me. He's going to tell me that no. This relationship has to continue after these 12 days. I need to extend my relationship with Imam al-Husayn beyond these 12 days. And therefore, I come back to the original question I posed on day one. What does Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam want from me today? Not only for these 12 days, but for my entire year, for my life. What does he want from me? First answer, and we talked about this, that Imam al-Husayn is going to tell me that, look, I want you to join me. I want to take you on a journey. And we talked about this, a journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he's offering a very good price for my soul, for my nafs. And believe me, it's a cash transaction. Imam al-Husayn is not something who's going to do business on credit, no. If you join him on this journey in this world, here itself, he'll fill your life with peace. He'll solve all your problems. He'll make you taste love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right here in this world. And then the reward of hereafter is something else. It's different. No, right here is going to give you a lot. So I'm sure it's a deal that none of us want to miss out on. That Imam al-Hussein is telling me that come to me, I want to give you a lot. You may wonder, why am I using these words? Business, transaction, deal, buying and selling. The reason is, the Holy Quran, when it describes the relationship between the mu'mineen and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it uses these words. And there are these very beautiful verses of the Holy Quran that talk about this special deal which we all have been offered. These are verses of Surah As-Saff from verse number 10 to 13. But whenever I want to, when I come to a part in my lecture, in this majlis, when I want to recite these verses of the Quran and explain, my eyes fall on that watch which is straight in front of me. And you know that watch is staring at me. Okay. So I'm not going to read these verses of the Quran because I don't have time. I need to quickly move on. There's many different things that I need to finish. So I've given you the address, you can look it up later on. Surah As-Saff, verse number 10 to 13, it starts like this. These are very beautiful verses of the Quran. It will take me a lot of time to explain. Ya ayyuhalladheena amanu hal adullukum ala tijaratin tunjikum min adhabin alim. I'm not going to translate it, it's going to take my time. So, we have got our first answer from Imam al-Hussein. Imam al-Hussein wants to take me on a journey of Tawheed, on a journey of realizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right here in this life. But in order to take me on this journey, Imam al-Hussein is going to ask me for something else as well. And in the coming days, there are more things that we are going to talk about that Imam al-Hussein wants from all of us today. He has high hopes in us. He's expecting a lot from us. Why? Because he has no one else. Who does Imam al-Hussein expect from other than us? So now I come to the second thing that Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam wants from me. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali. So Imam al-Hussein is going to tell me that if you want to join me, and I want your attention, I want your ears and complete attention. If you want to join me on this journey, this special journey, I need one more thing from you. And that is your heart. Imam Hussein wants our heart. What do I mean? Imam Hussein wants to take control of what I love and what I hate. He's telling me that, look, if you want to join me in this caravan of Tawheed, you have to love those values and those things which I love. And you have to stay away. You have to detest and dislike those things which I dislike. Inni silmun liman salamakum wa harbun liman harabakum. This is what Imam al-Hussein wants from me. This is what we recite in our ziyarat. It's a demand from Imam al-Hussein. Imam Hussein is saying that, look, you need to tune your heart to my frequency. It has to match me. It has to match my frequency. Why? Because if I tune my heart to the frequency of Hussein, then that will open the doors of felicity and tranquility and peace for me in this world and the hereafter. So brothers and sisters, we need to be extremely careful of our hearts. And what I mean when I say heart, I don't mean this physical heart. You know better than me about this physical heart, the details. No. Talking about the spiritual heart. The center of your love and hatred. What you like, what you dislike. What you value, what you don't value. Need to be very careful of our hearts, that who is in possession of my heart. And one of the claimants of my heart is Imam al-Hussein. He's telling me that I want your heart. I want to take control of your heart. And here it is that this battle of heart rages. And it's a difficult battle, especially in today's time, the modern world in which we live. Why? Because there are many groups and many people who are trying to take control of your heart. They are trying to take control of heart of our youth. Who are trying to tune my heart to love certain things and hate certain things. And to change my values. So this is a battle that has always been going on. So Karbala also witnessed this battle. Battle of hearts. Battle of values. On one side you have all good moral values. All goodness in Hussein and his companions and family. And all evil traits. Negative values in the other camp. And why it is so important? Why? Because what eventually matters when we will all leave this world? We all have to leave. A day is going to come, sooner or later, we have to leave. Kullu nafsin dha'ikatul maut. It's ordained, we have to go. When we leave this world and we'll enter a completely different realm, the realm of Barzakh and the different stages, and we'll reach a day which the Holy Quran refers to with different names, يوم القيامة, يوم الحساب, يوم التغابن, يوم تبلى السرائر, different names of the day of resurrection. When we'll go there, there's only one thing you'll be asked about. Okay. So that's going to be a very difficult day that we all have to face. On that day, we'll be thinking about the assets and the things that I have to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'll be looking for different things. I'll be looking at my money. I say, oh, I had so much money in the world. Can I use it right now? I had children who loved me so much. Can they help me right now? The answer is going to come. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَأُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ. No, sorry. That day, your money, you could have used it for today. If you didn't use it, that's it, it's gone. You left it for someone else to use it. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَأُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ. Okay, so what will we be asked? What will we be told? That what should I show so that I'm successful? إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Just need to take one thing. A pure, sound, strong heart. A heart which has the right values and the right love and hatred for the right things. So this is what eventually matters for every one of us. So this battle is raging today. My time is almost up. I'm trying to summarize and conclude my discussion today. So this battle is raging today, and in today's modern times, this battle is more difficult than other times. And it's more difficult for the youth of today than the previous generation. Why? Because there's a very big player in this battle of hearts that's trying to win our hearts. And that's the media. Again, I don't have time to go into the details. I'm just going to make a very brief and passing mention of how media today can affect our values, is affecting our values, is trying to change what we love and what we hate. Very briefly going to mention this, and inshallah I'll end. Please recite a salawat. Allah. So what does media do today? It produces a lot of things. You know better than me. Movies, serials, different types of programs. It's a vast range of products that the media produces. And this media industry, which is an empire, is backed by a very, very powerful technology that is prepared to deliver these products right at your doorstep. Beyond that, inside your homes, beyond that, inside your bedrooms and the most private of your spaces. It's all there. It's delivered instantly. Very powerful technology. Don't underestimate it, the power of technology. The question is, what is this media? How it can affect us? And I'm going to very briefly mention this. What makes today's media so attractive? Why is it that everyone is pulled towards it, especially the youth? Different things that are delivered on the media, they go after it. Why? Where does the attraction of Western media comes from? To answer this question, Ayatollah Jawadi Amuli gave a very beautiful answer. And if I really want to explain it well, I need a lot of time. So I'm trying to perform a miracle here. I'm trying to explain something in 2-3 minutes. I don't have more time than that. So he says that the entire attraction of Western media lies in three things. It provokes these three things, and that is what makes it so attractive. Number one, shahwat, desires. Number two, ghadab, anger and violence. Number three, takhayyul and imagination. Go and check this. I don't have time to explain. Go and check the different types of movies that are made by the Hollywood. And again, let me say this here, I'm not generalizing. I'm saying most of their products, not all. I'm not saying that everything that comes from the West is bad. I'm trying to say the other way around. That don't think that everything that comes from the West is good. We need to filter. We have our own intellect, we have our own criteria, we have our own teachings from the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt. We need to filter. Not everything that comes from that side of the sea is good and beneficial for me. No, it's not the case. So you go and see most of the movies that are made, either they emphasize on desires, they provoke the desires, the love stories, the romance, and different things, they provoke it. Makes it very interesting. But what are the repercussions? Again, I don't have time. Even their own societies are suffering for not putting any limits on shahwat and desires. I don't have time to explain. Just one simple fact. United States of America spends $16 billion every year to treat diseases that come from this problem, STDs. Go and check on the internet. It's a problem. Okay, let's move on. The second thing that makes these movies very interesting is anger and violence. Action movies, the different games that we have where who's the hero is the one who can kill the most. It has repercussions. It's not so simple. It changes the values, it affects the heart, especially the youth. Their hearts are very sensitive, very volatile. They get affected by these different things. Again, another problem that United States is facing is gun violence. Okay. Every single day, you hear the news that gun shooting incident in this city, these many people. Another city has become a regular news. It's become a problem for them. Why? Because if you have a media who's every day telling the children that this is cool, this is good, this is how you are supposed to be. And on the other side, you relax the gun control laws. Anyone can buy any of these guns. Bismillah, this is the result. An imagination. The world of cartoons. I don't have time to explain. I apologize. I just wanted to say this, that this battle is real. It's not something that I'm making up for you. No, it's real. But the problem is it can't be seen. Why? Because it's the battle of hearts. There are no swords here. There's no blood here. You can't see a calamity, someone falling. But in the batin, in the hidden realm, this battle is very, very severe and important, especially today, especially for the youth. And here it is that Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam wants to come and wants to save us. He's telling me that don't give your heart to anyone else. Don't allow anyone else to tell you what you should love and what you should hate. Don't allow anyone to define your values. No, come to me and I'll show you the true values. Not in words, but in action. In action in the most difficult circumstances. So we need to pay attention to the values of Ashura. And it's a topic in itself. Again, I'm trying to perform miracles. I'm trying to explain those things which are difficult to explain in a very brief time. I don't have time to explain and give examples of values of Ashura. If you really want to know about values of Ashura, this is what you need to do. You invite a qualified scholar for 10 nights. You give him this topic. You tell him, explain to us values of Ashura. Okay. It requires 10 nights. It's not something which can be discussed in such a short time. I just want to give one example. I prepared few examples, but you know the watch. And the watch is staring at me and I am trying. I want to keep time. I prepared many examples of negative values in Ashura and positive values in Ashura. I'm just going to mention one thing. One example. One of the values of Ashura is that it doesn't matter what the color of your skin is, where you come from, what is your lineage. What matters is your character, who you are from inside. What matters is your heart. Who have you given your heart to? This is what matters. Come see in Karbala, John. Who is John? He's an African slave who was slave of Abi Dharr. So there's a long story about him. He was the slave. Amirul Mumineen buys him. Then he gives it to Abi Dharr. When the Abi Dharr passes away, he comes back to the Ahlul Bayt. He doesn't leave them. He says that this is my own home. I need to be with them. So on the day of Ashura, when this martyr of Karbala goes and gives his sacrifice and he gives out his last salam to Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, Imam al-Husayn comes to him and does a very strange thing which he didn't do for anyone except his dear Ali Akbar. What does he do? He places his cheeks on the cheek of this ghulam, of this servant. What is he trying to tell? It's a value of Karbala. It's a value that is being told to us. Imam al-Husayn is trying to infiltrate my heart. He's trying to correct my values. He's trying to correct how I analyze and value different things. He's trying to fix my heart. And this is what Karbala is. I apologize for making it long. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. As-salamu alayka ya Ibn Rasulillah. As-salamu alayka ya Baba Najatil Ummah. As-salamu alayka ya Rahmatullahil Wasa. اس غم کے مہینے کی پہلی شب جمعہ دو اعتبار سے آج کی رات بہت اہم رات ہے ایک تو محرم کے ایام ہے اور شب جمعہ کی رات ہے. شب جمعہ کی رات مخصوص امام الحسین علیہ السلام کے زیارت کی رات ہے. کہ ہمارے روایات معتبر روایات میں یہ ہے کہ تمام انبیاء ہر شب جمعہ امام حسین علیہ السلام کی زیارت کرنے آتے ہیں. اور کتنی فضیلت ہے اس زیارت میں, ایک روایت آپ کے سامنے پیش کرنا چاہتا ہوں. ہمارے چھٹے امام, امام جعفر صادق علیہ السلام, ہمارے چھٹے امام فرماتے ہیں, بڑی عجیب حدیث ہے یہ, فرماتے ہیں, لو يعلم الناس ما في زيارة الحسين من الفضل لما تو شوقا. کیا فرما رہے ہیں امام؟ فرماتے ہیں کہ اگر لوگوں کو پتا ہوتا کہ زیارت سید الشہداء میں کتنی فضیلت ہے, شوق کے نتیجے میں لوگ اپنی جان لے لیتے. لما تو شوقا. تو آئے اس ایام عزام میں, اس محرم کی چوتھی رات میں آئے ہم سب کوشش کریں کہ اب عبداللہ الحسین کے ساتھ ہو جائے. بہت اہم ہے اپنے آپ کو امام حسین علیہ السلام سے جوڑ لینا. یزید ابن نبیت کون ہے یہ؟ ان کا واقعہ آپ کے سامنے پیش کرنا چاہتا ہوں اور مصائب کے چند جملے, کہ یہ بھی مصائب کا ہی حصہ ہے. دیکھیں کتنا اہم ہے کہ ہم اپنے آپ کو امام حسین علیہ السلام تک پہنچائے دیر نہ ہونے پائے. یزید ابن نبیت بصرہ کے رہنے والے ہیں. بصرہ اس شہر کا نام ہے کہ اس زمانے میں اہل بیت کے چاہنے والے وہاں پر بہت کم تعداد میں رہتے تھے. جب امام حسین علیہ السلام مکہ میں تھے تو امام حسین نے مختلف شہروں میں جو شیعہ تھے ان کے نام پر خط لکھے اور نصرت کی دعوت دی کہ تمہارے امام کو تمہاری ضرورت ہے, آ جائیے. بصرہ کے مومنین کے نام پر یہ خط لکھا, یہ خط بصرہ پہنچتا ہے, وہاں کے مومنین جمع ہوتے ہیں, یزید ابن نبیت ان میں سے ایک فرد ہے, آپس میں گفتگو ہوتی ہے, بصرہ کے حالات ٹھیک نہیں ہیں, ابن زیاد کے جاسوس چاروں طرف پھیلے ہوئے ہیں کہ اگر ذرہ برابر یہ پتہ چل جائے کہ کوئی امام حسین کے لیے کچھ کر رہا ہے, بس اس کی جان خطرے میں. یہ مومنین جمع ہوتے ہیں, آپس میں گفتگو کرتے ہیں, یزید ابن نبیت کہتے ہیں کہ میں امام حسین کی نصرت کے لیے جا رہا, امام نے بلایا ہے, میں جا رہا. دوسرے لوگوں نے کہا کہ حالات ٹھیک نہیں ہے, جان خطرے میں, ابھی صبر کرو, رک جاؤ, دیکھے کہ کیا ہوتا ہے. لیکن یزید ابن نبیت کا دل نہیں مانا. وہ کیسے مانے جب وہ دیکھ رہا ہے کہ اس کا امام اسے پکار رہا ہے, اسے بلا رہا ہے. یزید ابن نبیت نے ارادہ کیا کہ لمبا اور پرخطر سفر طے کرتے ہوئے جا کر امام حسین سے ملے. اب تصور کریں امام حسین علیہ السلام مکہ میں ہیں, یہ بصرہ میں ہیں, بصرہ اور مکہ کا فاصلہ ہے 1400 کلومیٹر, 1400 کلومیٹر, اور اس زمانے میں اتنا سفر طے کرنا بہت مشکل کام. لیکن انہوں نے ارادہ کیا, اپنے بچوں سے کہا, 10 بیٹے ہیں یزید ابن نبیت کے, ان کو بھی دعوت دی کہ آئے ہم سب مل کر چلتے ہیں نصرت حسین کے لیے. ان میں سے 2 بچوں نے بابا کی بات مانی اور یہ 3 لوگ امام حسین علیہ السلام سے جڑنے کے لیے نکل گئے. بڑا لمبا مشکل سفر طے کرتے ہوئے یہ ایک جگہ پر پہنچے جس کا نام تھا ابتہ, ایک علاقہ. وہاں پہنچ کر انہیں خبر ملی کہ امام حسین بہت نزدیک ہے, امام حسین کا خیمہ بہت نزدیک ہے. فوراً انہوں نے سامان کو اتارا, اپنا خیمہ لگایا, اس کے پہلے کہ کوئی اور کام کرتے فوراً نکل پڑے کہ امام حسین کی زیارت کر لیں. اور یہاں پہ ایک بڑا عجیب واقعہ پیش آیا کہ جیسے یہ نکلے امام حسین کی زیارت کرنے کے لیے, وہاں امام حسین کو خبر ملی کہ میرا ایک چاہنے والا بصرے سے آیا ہے, امام حسین بھی اس کی زیارت کے لیے نکلے. تو ہوا یہ کہ امام حسین ان کے خیمے پر پہنچتے ہیں, یہ امام حسین کے خیمے پر پہنچے. جب امام حسین کے خیموں کے پاس پہنچتے ہیں تو خبر ملتی ہے کہ آقا حسین تم سے ملنے گئے. یہ فوراً لوٹ کر امام حسین علیہ السلام کی خدمت میں پہنچتا ہے اور اس قرآن کی آیت کی تلاوت کرتا ہے. کہتا ہے, ایک صلوات پڑھ دے محمد والے, کہتا ہے جیسے ہی نگاہ پڑتی ہے امام حسین علیہ السلام کے چہرے پر, اس نورانی چہرے کی زیارت ہوتی ہے, اس قرآن کی آیت کی تلاوت کرتے ہیں. فرماتے ہیں وَبِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُ. یہ قرآن کی آیت ہے جس میں مومنین سے کہا جا رہا ہے کہ کب خوش ہونا ہے. حقیقی خوشی کا مقام وہ ہے کہ جب انسان خدا کوئی بڑی نعمت دے اور اپنے زمانے کے امام کے چہرے کی زیارت سے بڑھ کر کوئی اور نعمت نہیں. کہ خداوند متعال کی بارگاہ میں ہم بھی یہ دعا کرتے ہیں کہ ہمیں بھی اپنے زمانے کے امام کے نورانی چہرے کی زیارت نصیب فرما. اللہم ارنی طلعت الرشید, تو اپنے آپ کو حسین تک پہنچانا بہت اہم. اور آج چوتھی رات ہے, آئے اس شہید کا تذکرہ کرے جس نے آخری موقع پر صحیح فیصلہ لیا, بالکل آخری موقع پر آ کر حسین سے جڑ گیا اور اپنے آپ کو بچا لیا. آئے اس آزاد انسان کا تذکرہ کرے, حر, عربی میں حر یعنی آزاد, یعنی فری, یعنی ایسا انسان جسے فریڈم مل چکا ہے اپنی شہوت سے, اپنے نفس سے. آئے حر کا تذکرہ کریں. دیکھیں کون ہے حر, ہم آئے حر کو پہچاننے کی کوشش کریں. کون ہے حر؟ حر وہ شخص ہے جس نے شب عاشور اپنے نام کو قاتلین امام حسین سے مٹایا اور ناصرین امام حسین میں لکھ دیا. بہت بڑا کام کیا حر نے کہ قیامت تک مومنین حر پر سلام بھیجیں گے. ہم کیا کہتے ہیں؟ السلام علیکم یا اولیاء اللہ واحبا. ہم حر پر سلام بھیجتے ہیں آج, کہتے ہیں کہ سلام ہو تم پر اے حر, تم خدا کے مقرب بندے ہو, تم خدا کے محبوب ہو, تم انصار حسین میں سے ہو. لیکن عزاداروں, حر کی حقیقت شب عاشور کے پہلے کچھ اور تھی. بس چند جملے مصائب کے اور آپ کی ذہنت ہوں. کون ہے حر؟ آئے دیکھیں شب عاشور کے پہلے جو حر ہے وہ کون سا حر ہے. شب عاشور کے پہلے کا حر ہے وہی حر ہے جس نے, جس کی وجہ سے روز عاشور امام حسین علیہ السلام کے خیموں سے العطش العطش کی آوازیں بلند ہو. یہی ہے حر. حر نے امام حسین کا راستہ روکا. حر نے امام حسین کا راستہ روکا. واقعہ آپ نے سنا ہوا ہے کہ امام حسین علیہ السلام کوفہ سے نزدیک پہنچتے ہیں, ایک جگہ پہ رات میں رکھتے ہیں, اور صبح میں جب قافلہ حرکت کرتا ہے تو اپنے اصحاب سے کہتے ہیں کہ پانی کی مشکوں کو بھر لو, پانی کی مشکوں کو بھر لو. دوپہر کا وقت ہوتا ہے, یہ قافلہ بڑھتا جا رہا ہے, اصحاب دیکھتے ہیں کہ دور سے ایک لشکر آ رہا ہے. جب یہ لشکر نزدیک پہنچا تو دیکھا گیا کہ حر ہزار سپاہی لے کر حسین کا مقابلہ کرنے آ گئے. لیکن کیا حالت تھی اس لشکر کی؟ کربلا اور عراق کی گرمی, تھکا ہارا پیاسا یہ لشکر امام حسین کے لشکر سے نزدیک ہوتا ہے. دیکھیں کون ہے امام حسین. جب اس لشکر کو اس پیاسے حالت میں دیکھا, اپنے اصحاب سے کہا کہ جاؤ یہی پانی, جاؤ ان میں سے ایک ایک کو پانی پلا. حتیٰ امام حسین نے کہا کہ جاؤ جانوروں کو بھی پانی پلایا جائے. ان میں سے ایک شخص ہے, یہ خود کہتا ہے کہ میں اس لشکر کا آخری فرد تھا, پیاس کی شدت سے میرے بدن میں جان باقی نہیں تھی. جب میں امام حسین علیہ السلام کے نزدیک پہنچا تو خود امام حسین علیہ السلام مشک لے کر میرے پاس آ گئے اور اپنے ہاتھوں سے مجھے پانی پلائے. میں کہوں گا آقا حسین یہ وہی لوگ ہیں جو 7 محرم کو آپ پر پانی بند کرنے والے, یہ وہی لوگ ہیں. آقا حسین کہیں گے کہ ہم اپنے دشمنوں پر بھی پانی بند نہیں کرتے, ہمارا اخلاق کچھ اور ہے, ہمارے دشمنوں کا اخلاق کچھ اور. حر نے کہا کہ میں ہرگز آپ کو کوفہ کی طرف جانے نہیں دوں, مجھے دستور دیا ہے ابن زیاد نے کہ میں آپ کا راستہ روکوں. امام حسین نے توجہ نہیں کی, اپنے راستے کو پر چلتے رہے. حر نے امام حسین کے گھوڑے کے لجام پر ہاتھ رکھ لیا اور امام حسین علیہ السلام کے گھوڑے کو روک لیا. جیسے ہی یہ امام حسین نے دیکھا ایک جملہ فرمایا, جو عرب اس جملے کو استعمال کرتے ہیں سرزنش کرنے کے لیے, کسی کی توبیخ کرنے کے لیے, کہا ثقلت کا امک, اے حر تم جانتے ہو تم کیا کر رہے ہو, تمہاری ماں تمہارے عزام میں بیٹھے, تمہاری ماں تمہارے لیے گریہ کرے. دیکھیں حر, شاید یہی وہ چیز تھی جس نے حر کو شب عاشور نجات دی. حر نے کیا کہا, کہا کہ یا ابا عبداللہ اگر آپ کی ماں فاطمہ زہرا کے علاوہ کوئی اور ہوتی تو میں یہی جواب پلٹا دیتا, میں یہی جواب پلٹا دیتا, لیکن ہرگز یہ کلمات میں رسول کی بیٹی کے لیے استعمال نہیں کروں گا, بی بی کے احترام میں کچھ نہیں کہا. آئے آ جائے شب عاشور کا دن, شب عاشور آ گئی. حر ان تمام واقعات کو دیکھ رہے ہیں, ایک کے بعد ایک جو واقعات پیش آ رہے دیکھ رہے ہیں کہ امام حسین کے خیمے اپنی جگہ پر لگ گئے, ایک کے بعد ایک کوفہ سے لشکر آتا جا رہا ہے, ایک کے بعد ایک اس محاصرے کو تنگ کیا جا رہا ہے, چاروں طرف سے امام حسین کے خیمے گھر چکے ہیں, 7 محرم کو ان چھوٹے چھوٹے بچوں پر پانی بند کیا جا چکا ہے. شب عاشور آ گئی, حر پہنچے عمر سعد کے پاس اور کہا کہ کیا تم حقیقت میں چاہتے ہو حسین کو قتل کرو؟ اس لعین نے جواب دیا کہ ہاں کل وہ جنگ ہوگی اور سروں کو تنوں سے جدا کیا جائے گا, میں خود امام حسین کو قتل کروں. جب حر نے یہ جملہ سنا تو اپنے خیمے کی طرف واپس لوٹ کر آ گئے. حر کا غلام یہ کہتا ہے کہ میں نے حر کو کبھی ایسی حالت میں نہیں دیکھا. حر کون ہے؟ حر سپہ سالار ہے, کوئی عام آدمی نہیں ہے. دیکھا, حر کا غلام یہ کہتا ہے میں نے دیکھا کہ حر کا بدن کانپ رہا ہے, حر کا بدن کانپ رہا ہے. میں نے کہا کہ میرے آقا میں نے کبھی آپ کو اس حالت میں نہیں دیکھا ہے, کیا سبب ہے کیا وجہ ہے؟ حر نے ایک جملہ فرمایا, کہا کہ میں اپنے آپ کو جنت اور جہنم کے درمیان دیکھ رہا ہوں, ایک طرف حسین ہے جو جنت ہے, ایک طرف یزید ہے اور ابن زیاد ہے جو جہنم ہے, اور خدا کی قسم میں جنت کو بھیج کر جہنم نہیں اختیار کر سکتا. حاضر دارو آپ تصور کرے کہ حر نے کس طرح سے اس رات کو گزارا ہوگا, کیا سوچ رہے ہوں گے. میرا دل یہ کہتا ہے کہ سوچ رہے ہوں گے کہ میں نے کتنا بڑا ظلم کیا ہے امام حسین پر, کل میں کون سا منہ لے کر امام حسین کے پاس جاؤں گا, بی بی زینب کے سامنے میں کیا کہوں گا, ان چھوٹے چھوٹے بچوں کا میں کیا جواب دوں گا. ہاں شاید سوچ رہے ہوں گے کہ قیامت کے دن جب رسول اللہ میرے سامنے آئیں گے اور مجھ سے پوچھیں گے کہ تُو نے میرے بچوں کے ساتھ کیا کیا, فاطمہ آئے گی تو میں فاطمہ کا کیا جواب دوں گا. ہاں حر نے, حر سوچ رہے ہیں کہ کہ کل کس طرح سے امام حسین کی خدمت میں جایا جائے. اجرکم اللہ آزادارو, عاشور کا دن آ گیا, حر نے ارادہ کر لیا کہ بس اب توبہ کرنا ہے, اب حسین کے پاس لوٹ کر واپس جانا ہے. لیکن ہائے, بڑا سخت مرحلہ آ گیا حسین کے لیے کہ کس طرح سے حسین کے پاس جائے, کون سا منہ لے کر حسین کے پاس جائے. ہائے آزادارو, ہم بھی آج کوشش کریں حسین کے پاس جائے, لیکن ہم بھی شرمندہ ہیں, ہمارے نام اعمال میں بھی بہت سارے گناہ ہیں, ہم بھی کون سا منہ لے کر حسین کے پاس جائیں. اجرکم اللہ, ہاور نے ارادہ کر لیا کہ حسین کے پاس جانا ہے. گھوڑے پر سوار ہوئے, اپنے سر کو جھکا لیا, زمین کی طرف دیکھ رہے ہیں, حسین کے پاس دیکھنے کی جرأت نہیں ہے. دھیرے دھیرے بڑھتے جاتے ہیں, حسین کے قریب ہوتے جا رہے ہیں, اور خدا کی بارگاہ میں یہ دعا کر رہے ہیں, خدا کی بارگاہ میں یہ کہہ رہے ہیں کہ کیا خدا میری توبہ قبول ہو سکتی ہے. انی ارعبت قلب اولیائک وابن بنت نبیک, میں وہی ہوں جس نے رسول کے نواسے کے دل کو دکھایا ہے, میں وہی ہوں, کیا میری توبہ قبول ہو سکتی ہے. حسین کے پاس پہنچے, اپنے سر کو جھکایا ہوا ہے, حسین کے سامنے بس ایک جملہ کہا حلی من توبہ, اے حسین کیا میری توبہ قبول ہو سکتی ہے. ہاں دیکھے میرا آقا میرا مولا کتنا قریب ہے, کچھ نہیں کہا, کہا کہ اے ہر گھوڑے سے نیچے آ جاؤ, کچھ جواب نہیں دیا, ہر کو اپنے گلے لگا دیا اور کہا کہ ہاں میں نے بھی معاف کیا, میرے اللہ نے بھی معاف کیا. پھر ہر نے کہا کہ اے میرے آقا, میں نے بہت تکلیفیں آپ کو پہنچائی ہے, میں وہ پہلا فرد ہوں جس نے یہ ظلم آپ کے اوپر شروع کیا ہے, مجھے اجازت دے دے کہ میں سب سے پہلی قربانی جا کر پیش کروں. اجرکم اللہ. اور آزادارو, وہ وقت آ جاتا ہے کہ ہر میدان جنگ میں جاتے ہیں, واعظ و نصیحت کرتے ہیں دشمن کو, لڑائی کرتے ہیں دشمن کو, واصل جہنم کرتے ہیں. اور ہاں, وہ وقت آ جاتا ہے کہ زخمی حالت میں گھوڑے سے گرتے ہیں, اپنے آقا کو پکارتے ہیں کہ علیک منی السلام یا ابا عبداللہ, میرا آخری سلام قبول کیجئے. مولا حسین ہر کے سرانے پہنچتے ہیں, ہر کے سر کو اپنی آگوش میں لیتے ہیں, اور وہ تاریخی جملہ فرماتے ہیں انت حر کما سمت کا امور, کہ اے ہر تم آزاد ہو گئے, بڑا بہترین نام تیری ماں نے تیرا رکھا ہے. سیعلم الذین ظلموا ایم القلب ينقلبون انا للہ و انا الیہ راجعون. ماتم حسین.